Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotions section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
What is going on, good people? It is 10:07 Saturday night, May 18th. Rick Uccino, Iridian Fierro with you as we recap AEW Collision and keep you up to date on everything that's going on with AEW Rampage. It is a recap slash watch along here on the Fightful YouTube channel. Been a hot minute since I've been here. Iridian, I don't even think I've seen you in a month. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good. Yeah, I feel like I can't even place the last time we were doing a show together. And I don't know if it's because it's been that long or if I just have terrible memory. It could be both.
probably both. The terrible memory is in there with me as well. I was free we were off last week, right? What? No, yeah, it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
We were all available and there was no Collision.
Yep.
And then the following week, Cresta, through a bunch of, you know, circumstances, ended up holding the fort down. I think it was her and Rob who had to do the show last week. And now Crest is off this week and you're gone next week. With this whole entire review show is just it's a box of chocolates. You really don't know what you're going to get on a week to week basis, which is another reason to tune in, because you just never know who might show up here. Today it's me and Iridian. We're going to hold things down for the next 45 minutes to an hour or so, depending on how long it takes us to get through everything. Right now, Kyle O'Reilly with a grimace on his face as he is just whooping into Lee Moriarty at the moment on AEW Rampage. We appreciate everybody who is joining us here tonight on a Saturday night. Colliders assemble. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in, like Ricardo, Little Stinger since 88, saying, at work, just popping in. to spread some love here. We appreciate that. Thank you very much, Ricardo. Get those super chats in, get your humper chats in. It is the guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air tonight. And Luis will constantly stay in my ear and make sure that I read all of them and I don't forget anything as we go through. It's been a minute. Let's see if I remember how to do this. Let's kick off with this banger of an opener we had, Iridium. Mm-hmm. Will Ospreay, Shane Taylor. This is a match that was set up by a blindside attack from Shane Taylor on Will Ospreay last week. We get Undisputed Kingdom on this coming down. Roddy on commentary, which was great as always. Ospreay shot out of a cannon to start off this one. Big drop kick, literally flying to the outside. Like, this man floats in air. It's ridiculous how much body control that he has. Obviously, we get some chaos erupting on the outside. Anthony Ogogo with the sucker punch that lets Shane Taylor get the upper hand and slow things down. I thought this was such a great matchup for Will Ospreay, who, you know, a lot of his matches that we've seen so far in AEW, it has been go, 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 high octane the entire time. That's not Shane Taylor's game. Shane Taylor is ground and pound. And this was, as Kate said on Twitter, this was a bad night for the Will Ospreay doesn't sell crowd. He was selling.
He was.
Slowed things down a lot tonight, made Shane Taylor look really, really good. And then, my Lord, able to get the big man up for the Storm Driver and win this matchup tonight. This was, I love, there was a lot to like about this opener tonight. What did you think, Iridia?
Yeah, I think putting them both against each other was really great because they were just able to showcase how just like rough and tough they both are. And like you said, you know, Kate tweeted that it was a bad night for people who didn't think that Will Ospreay would sell, because he was selling everything tonight. It looked like everything that Shane was giving to him, like Will was taking that. And I love that they just immediately were firing on all cylinders. And you know what I really liked about this match? The drama, okay? Because the fact that the Undisputed Kingdom was on commentary, and when Will Ospreay grabbed that water and just threw it in Roddy's face, you would have thought the world was ending, okay? Nigel was like, that's a man with glasses, okay? Disrespectful. You would have thought it was the most disrespectful thing ever. But Nigel yelling on commentary, it just really made that so much more funny. It was kind of like a disgusting act by Will Ospreay. But I thought it was a really, really great match to open up the night.
Nigel was on another one again tonight. Like, the man's an absolute savage. Like opening up the show with game recognizes game. And then when Bryan Danielson comes out for the main event, he's like dumb recognizes dumb.
Yeah.
just little things like that. He was really, really good. We got a super chat here from Van Twinblade. Really appreciate it. Says, so Darby is concussed and Daniel Garcia is replacing him. I don't hate that. Also, I made sweet tea. Y'all want some? I would love some sweet tea right now. I have boring water. Is that official? I don't know if I heard that or not. If I didn't see that, I'll try to figure that out. If that was on looking through social media, I was curious, and we'll talk about it, Irina. I was curious what Daniel Garcia's involvement tonight was going to mean. I didn't see anything about Darby being concussed or anything like that. So that would be oof. Boy, if that's the case, can we stop with like pro wrestling injuries for a hot minute? Because both companies are dealing with it right now. And this is like a Pro Bowl team. We're on third alternate at this point if Daniel Garcia does end up replacing Darby Allin here.
That's interesting. I wouldn't hate it because you know, Darby, you need to heal up, sir. You need to rest. And we've talked about how we've wanted him to go on vacation for a very long time. And he just kept getting injured.
This man was hit by a bus 3 weeks ago.
And the fact
that ran into a moving bus, whatever it was.
The fact
that he had a broken foot
came out there. That's insane. And for him to announce that he was in the match, I'm like, sir, no way you got that approved. There's just no way. He's medically cleared. Stay home. I don't hate the idea of him being replaced by DG. But I feel like there's a lot of other people too who could also be in that spot. No shade towards DG at all, because I love Danny Garcia.
Sure.
But interesting choice if that's the one that they're going with.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Like I said, if maybe they said something on commentary on Rampage. Obviously, I don't have the volume up right now. But if I get any I'll keep an eye out if I see anything like that. But Daniel Garcia's involvement now that he is on Team AEW, I do like that it's continuing to grow, right? You have those, it's kind of like a smaller version right now of the NWO versus WCW kind of storyline that they got going right here. You don't need to grow it massively to where it's like one side of the company versus the other side of the company, but you have people who are willing to stand up and stand next to Tony Khan and fight his battles for him, because as he told me on ESPN 1530, he is not going to be getting into a wrestling ring, even though he took the Khan driver, the Tony driver, whatever they're calling it nowadays. No interest in doing that. Not that he couldn't do it. He just says he would suck at it. So he wants to keep AEW where the best wrestle, like Will Ospreay tonight. Will Ospreay is great. We all know he's great. Props to Shane Taylor tonight, because that's a big moment for him to get in the ring with somebody like a Will Ospreay. Aridin, he did not look lost at all in this.
No, he didn't. He really held his own. And I know people might say like, oh, like why is Will Ospreay having a match with Shane Taylor? But like, look at what this brings both of them. It really shows you that Ospreay could really go with anyone, and it builds on Shane Taylor's reputation. Like, he's got these big matches under his belt on his resume now. So, and the fact that he's holding his own in each of these matches, like, that's just building up Shane Taylor Promotions at the end of the day.
Correct. Undisputed Kingdom did ambush Ospreay after the match. He gets the upper hand, though, escapes after a tope suicida to the outside and runs to the back. Ospreay and Roddy is going to be really good. I know you're going to be in Vegas for this one live. Where's this one on your excitement scale as far as next weekend?
There's so many good matches on the card. It's just like, I'm the top of my excitement match is going to be Willow and Mercedes. The match that I'm ready for. And then Mox and Takeshita, I just know that's going to be a banger. This might be like match 3 or 4, because I know that this match is going to deliver.
Yeah, I mean, Anarchy in the Arena obviously is going to be absolute anarchy. You know, yeah. I mean, pick another word if you want to use it, but it's going to live up to its name for sure. So there's a lot to be excited about. I'm with you, though. Willow and Mercedes. I'm just very I want to see Mercedes wrestle. Like, it's been so long since I've seen Mercedes wrestle, and I'm like, let's go. Let's get to it. And it was nice to see her take kind of her first bump this week on Wednesday, and what a great contract signing. Those words don't come out of my mouth often. What a great contract signing. Okay. I think we had two of them this week because Cody and Logan Paul did last night was pretty good as well. You brought up John Moxley. We see him and Claudio backstage. I thought this was a really good promo look, Mox always cuts great promos. Not always the same for Claudio. Arguably, I think his best work here, cutting a promo, even though he literally says in this, the thing he hates is standing in front of a TV and talking. Like, he's like, I hate this. I think it's stupid. And then he goes out and cuts the best promo he's ever done, talking about how, like, he loves to fight. He loves exposing the phonies of the business. And Don Callis family, they're not going to be making a name off of the BBC here. I love Mox saying they don't play for money or adulation or titles or Instagram or any of that bullshit. It's just they play for keeps. They play for blood. They're out there to hunt because they love it. I mean, it's not going to add any hype to Mox versus Takeshita for me, because I was already hyped enough for that match, but this was good work done.
Oh yeah. No, this match, this little promo got me more hyped. Just because I feel like teamwork makes the dream work. I love seeing the Blackpool Combat Club, and I feel like Mox and Claudio really just fed well off of each other. They said that, you know, the secret is that it's in their nature. Like, they want to fight. Like you said, again, it's not about the lights and the cameras for them, even though that's what they were doing tonight, but they want blood. Like, they are hunters, and I believe it. I believe it, and I'm a little scared, but I want to know where Wheeler Yuta's at, okay? I just need a little picture, a fake phone call. Claudio could be like, you know what? It's Yuta. I got to answer this really quick. I'll be right back. A voicemail even. I know he's been struggling with some concussions, but you know, it's all, like, we can always be reminded that Wheeler Yuta's still in the Blackpool Combat Club.
Yeah, I believe that was an update that Sean had on Fightful Select this week. Best $5 in the business, by the way. Subscribe, get all of Sean's great work. A lot of contract news, a lot of injury news. I'm still waiting for the email to come across my desk that Becky Lynch has resigned with WWE. We're down to like 2 weeks and a couple days here. So I am, I'm not sleeping well at night, waiting for this contract to get freaking signed already. Another super chat from Van Twinblade saying, also St. Louis SC, get it together. This shit is fucking embarrassing. Only goal we got tonight against FC Cincinnati was an own goal. Depressing. Yes. The orange and blue of FC Cincinnati, where I'm from, winning 3-1 tonight. So that's six in a row, six in a row for the orange and blue. Thank you.
I'm glad one of us understood what Van Twinblade was talking about. So sorry, but 10 out of 10 for you for participating.
hey, the Reds suck. I need something to hang on to right now, and FC Cincinnati's it. They're cooking with gas at the moment. So hey, thank you, Van Twinblade, for remembering where I'm from. I appreciate the engagement on that one. Get your super chats in, get your humper chats in, guys. We're gonna read every single one of them throughout the show. I, by the way, I said Luis earlier. It's Drew that's on. Drew, I apologize.
Shout outs to you, Drew.
You're my boy, Drew. Let's hook these next three matches together here, Iridian, to save a little bit of time as Roosh is making his way down to the ring on AEW Rampage that's going on right now. Van Twinblade says I suck. I'm sorry. Anyway, so we get, these are all the qualifying matches because now we have to have qualifying matches for the FTW Championship, Iridian, which I think is so crazy. Ridiculous, but crazy. It adds to the ridiculousness and just the over the top. I don't even know how to describe it. What Jericho is doing right now with the whole learning tree thing, like he is just being intentionally disingenuous with all of this and so fake and so phony. And he's doing it. He knows having qualifying matches for the FTW Championship is a ridiculous concept because it's not even a recognized title. And I've always like had a hard time buying into anything with the FTW Championship just because it's just kind of there. It was cool when Taz brought it back for like a hot minute, but I feel like it's been floating around for a little too long now, especially since there's already so many real championships in AEW at this point. But now they're like building this whole thing around the FTW Championship and Chris Jericho holding on to it. We got Hook versus Johnny TV. We got Shibata versus Rocky Romero. And then we got Brian Keith versus Bear Boulder. Let's start with Hook versus Johnny TV. Always great seeing Johnny and Taya Valkyrie on the screen. I'd like to see them more often, especially with so many people hurt right now. Taya provides a distraction to give Johnny a chance to go for the Superstation, but he misses. Hook locks in Red Rum to pick up the win here. We knew Hook was winning this one. Pretty good back and forth here. What'd you think?
You know what? I know you said we were all knowing that Hook was going to win this one. I was a little shocked when he did pin Johnny TV, Johnny AEW, whatever his current Johnny last name
iteration is. Yeah.
But I was like, oh, okay. Maybe it's just because it happened a little quick for me. But we know that FTW Championship belongs to Hook. Okay. No one else can have that belt. And this whole tournament, I don't really see what the point of it is unless Hook is going to get that title back. But then that's going to make Chris Jericho's month long of the learning tree kind of irrelevant, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, I remember sitting on this program a couple of weeks ago, sitting here talking about, and yes, by the way, thank you, Van. Roosh just murdered a man on live TV, is murdering a man live on TV right now. I can't even tell who he's wrestling at the moment, but he just got tossed into a barricade after eating the shotgun dropkick in the corner. Oh, my God. Oh, you poor bastard. Anyway, I remember sitting on this program just a couple of weeks ago or a month or so ago, just like wanting Hook to be involved with people higher up on the card with some bigger names. And I, you know, at least now he's working with guys like Jericho and Shibata, and he's got this triple threat match that's going to be coming up here soon. So, you know, it's wrestling Johnny TV. It's one of those things where it's like, you get what you wish for, but it might not necessarily be what you had in mind.
Yeah.
But we'll see where things go from here. Shibata does beat Rocky Romero. I thought this was a good back and forth as well. Both men working limbs to set up their respective submissions. Shibata, gets the dub with the figure four. So it's Shibata and Hook. And then we needed one more person. And we get right back to back to back here. Brian Keith going up against Bear Boulder. there's talk of Savage Sauce and Titty City and all sorts of craziness here. And Brian Keith went full Hannibal Lecter on the NERPs of Bear Boulder before hitting a blockbuster to win this one. This was a lot of craziness in like 3 minutes of television with the promo to the match itself. I'm glad that Brian Keith is getting this spot. He's only in this match on Wednesday to eat the pin, though. We know that, right? Like, because there's a friendship between Hook and Shibata, and you know those two are going to be, you know, friendly with one another. Don't want to have one of those two beat the other one. So hey, let's put another guy in there and have Brian Keith be the guy to eat the pin. But nice to see him picking up a win on Collision.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite out of these three qualifying matches? Because mine was definitely Shibata and.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Rocky Romero.
I mean, just for the fact that Brian Keith chowed down on a man boob, I guess I got to go with that one, right?
That was wild. And first of all, I didn't know the man that he was fighting. Brian Keith came out, and then I thought the man's name was Sausage. It's not. It was Beefcake Boulder, I believe.
Is that what they called him on that one? Beefcake Boulder?
I want to say it was. But write it in the comments, guys, if I'm wrong. But when he said he was taking us to Titty City, mm-hmm. I was like, where are we going, sir? And then the match immediately started. And by the time I had finished processing that's where we were going, the match was over.
See, so, now that may sound like false advertising to some, but I've actually been like a part of indie shows where they have done this move before. And it's usually somebody like Bear Boulder, who is a big, burly, you know, hairy chested man. It's a great comedy spot at indie shows. That is the first time I, in my professional career, that I have heard that mentioned on national television. So I got a pretty good chuckle out of that one. But this triple threat match that they set up on Wednesday is going to be pretty good. I would think Hook is going to end up winning this, and we probably get Hook and Jericho at Double or Nothing. Where would that one rank on your excitement list?
That's at the bottom. That's at the bear. Man, there's so many other things that we could be seeing, and there's so many superstars who are not featured. Where is Ricky Starks? Mm. Donde en el mundo está Ricky Starks? It's like, where's Carmen Sandiego? Where's Ricky?
Preach.
This is what I need to know. I'm trying to ask the important questions. And also, back to the Shibata and the Rocky Romero match, they had mentioned on commentary that, like, Shibata, he was like 184 days as pure Ring of Honor champion. You know who's the current pure Ring of Honor champion? Wheeler Yuta. At least put a picture of him somewhere. Like, please.
Can we get Wheeler Yuta on a milk carton? Can we get that? Like,
on one side is Ricky Starks, and on the other side is Wheeler Yuta, okay?
Like, this wouldn't be unprecedented, right? I mean, this was like when Jay White was absent for a little bit and they brought the cardboard cutout, right? Like, we could just do the same thing, just have somebody in the BCC carrying around a milk carton.
could you imagine Claudio coming out with a little Wheeler Yuta card, a card blade, or I don't know what the name would be. We got to figure one out, but that would be incredible.
I like the milk carton idea. Have you seen the Ring of Honor Pure Champion? Have you seen our Yuta? Where is our Wheeler?
Where's Ricky Starks? Where's the Absolute?
It was very interesting to hear Ricky talking about that. I wish I could credit who he spoke to, but basically saying he don't know why he's not on TV right now. So,
and we want Ricky on TV. Clarification, everybody.
Oh, of course we do.
Like, in case anybody was like, why are they talking about it? Because we want to see Ricky Starks on TV. We want to see him in these pay-per-views. And that brings me to Danny Garcia possibly joining the team of FTR and Bryan Danielson. Ricky would also fit on that team, just saying, because he does have that friendship with, or maybe not friendship, but like respect between Bryan Danielson. So,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of, see, go back to, like, it's interesting that you bring that up, because you go back to when the BCC really kind of first formed and Moxley brought Danielson into the group, right? It was like, hey, we fight together, we bleed together, and then we, you know, we're on the same page and we're there. Bryan and Ricky have already bled together.
Yeah.
Twice. All right.
You remember the t-shirt? He came out with a t-shirt and people were like, oh, he's maybe going to give it to Ricky. And I want to say that was the time when he was with Big Bill, and Bill was like, no. So they just left the ring. But Bryan Danielson had an extra t-shirt who could possibly have been teasing joining the BCC. I don't see what have happened, but there was that sign that there was respect there.
Yeah, there's a lot they could be doing with Ricky. And, you know, you hear the reports that Bill and Ricky, once they lost the tag team titles, they were ready to go on and move their own separate ways. Mm-hmm. There is no reason. All right. And I'm sure whatever it is, TK has a reason. I always try to keep that in mind, that there's got to be something that's going on that we don't know about, whether it's justified or not. Like, you're not just going to keep a talent like Ricky Starks off television for no reason. Like, I got to feel like there's some particular justification on Tony Khan's mind to not have Ricky Starks, whether it's, as Eddie says in the chat, he's a CM Punk guy, whether it's the fact, and he's basically getting punished for that, whether it's, and I'm not saying that, I'm not reporting that, by the way, it's just
okay. One thing that's being thrown in,
but FTR, exactly. FTR's friends are CM Punk guys as well. You know, I really hope it wouldn't be something as much as, oh, Ricky Starks went to WrestleMania 40. Who cares? How many times have Bayley and Mercedes and Naomi been at each other's matches with every different company? So it's like, none of those things to me add up.
No, that
right? at all. None of those things add up. Unless Tony just thinks when Ricky's contract is up, he's going to go and sign with AEW with WWE, because Cody and Punk and all of his friends are over there for some reason. And he doesn't feel like he wants to invest in him. I don't know. Again, all speculation. Nothing adds up to me on this one. I'm sure there's a reason. I don't know what it is. But damn it, Iridian, the Revolution needs to be televised. Why the hell is Ricky Starks not on our TV screen? That
period. I absolutely 1,000% agree with you. Where is Ricky Starks? Put him on TV, Tony Khan. Okay. Put him on TV. Put him on the pay-per-views. He's a main event guy. Put a championship on him. And that's that. Like,
Collision should be his show. He should own this show. God. He should own.
Don't even get me started. We need to. No, I can't go on a rant here. I can't.
We got a super chat here from Misha Samara. I am here for Will Ospreay doing what the UK indie scene knew he would do. If either of you are over here for All In, I will buy you a pint. Oh, that sounds amazing. I don't have a passport or money to travel overseas, but
I don't have money, but I very much appreciate that. That is so kind. Genuinely so kind. I appreciate that.
If anybody, by the way, sees me at a show in the United States and wants to buy me a pint, like, let's go. Let's effing go.
Oh, man. Same goes with me.
I'll be in Cleveland. Anybody going to Cleveland? All these exotic places, going to the UK, we're going to Lyon, France, we're going to Glasgow, Scotland. Next show I'll be at is in Cleveland.
The Rick Uccino tour. Make sure your tour dates line up so people know where you're at.
So far, it's Cleveland, And Vegas, that's where I'll be next. Not this weekend's Vegas, but next year's Vegas. Those are the two travel plans I got. Make sure to keep getting those super chats in. Get those humper chats in. By the way, all 1,700 of you who are checking out the show right now, thank you so much for joining us here on a Saturday night. Make sure to subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel if you haven't already. Give this video a thumbs up as well. Really helps drive the engagement and brings even more people into the conversation here on a fun Saturday night. And again, get those super chats in, get the humper chats in. That's the best way to guarantee to get your comment read on the show tonight. We had Pac, the bastard, getting interviewed by Lexi backstage, getting a response to the cheeky comments from Bullet Club Gold. He calls them very funny chaps, says their hilarious behavior would usually ruffle his bastard feathers. But he's kind of emotionless right now. Iridian says he hasn't felt anything in weeks, begs the locker room to try harder to make him care and be careful what you wish for. We go to commercial. We come back from commercial. We get the Bullet Club Gold entering. And then we see a hobbled, beaten, battered pack at their feet with Jay White holding a baseball bat. And then he talks into the camera. He's like, do you care now? I'm paraphrasing here. I believe that was along the lines of what he said. I should have actually, you know, written it down in my notes. I didn't. That's on my part. But that would make me care. Somebody just stove me in with a baseball bat, Iridian. What do you think's going on with Pac here?
He's going through it. Okay. He's having a rough week.
Aren't we all?
He is the embodiment of the rough week that we've had, because when I tell you, I yelled when I saw him laid out on the floor in front of Jay White. I was excited to see the Bang Bang Gang. I was like, all right, like, what are we going to do? What are they like, if I'm part of the group, what are we going to do? I was like, what are they going to do? Like, let's see what happens. And the music hits and they go to Colton, and Colton usually like winks at the camera, but this man is panting. He looks like,
yeah, I was going to say, like, that's the first thing I noticed. I'm like, why is dude bro like
exhausted?
Like, looks like he's breathing in the cameraman's atmosphere. He's just like soaking in everything. I'm like, what is happening here? And then the whole circle around, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay, I get it.
Yes, and they finally zoomed out to Jay White, and then Pac on the floor. I was so shook, but I was living for it. But I was kind of upset that we only got to see the Bang Bang Gang just for a little bit. Like could have at least dragged them into the ring or something, and then, like, I don't know, done something else and then left. But it was what it was. I thought it was a really good spot. Pac is just so scary. The fact that someone could just ambush him like that, that's crazy to me.
We got Thunder Rosa running down to the ring here to help out Robin Renegade, who was getting a beating put on her by Deonna Purrazzo here.
Shout out to
Deonna. So watch great. Out. Oh, and Deonna just takes out. Oh, stay on top of her. Don't just walk away. As Swerve would say, that's a bitch move. What are you doing? Stay on that. Dang it. All right, whatever. I wanted to see him fight more. All right, anyway. We get Nick Wayne backstage with Christian Cage.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I love the history between Nick Wayne and Swerve Strickland is one very, very real. It's an awesome thing. There's a lot of big moments. Nick Wayne's only 18 years old. He's had some big moments in his career. A lot of them have to deal with Swerve Strickland. So I love that they keep circling back to this, and both of them being from, you know, the Northwest, both of them coming through Defy Wrestling. It's nice to lean onto that history. Nick telling Christian Cage backstage that he fully plans on beating Swerve on his own this coming Wednesday. And he had a match a little bit later on in the night that we will talk about. But we get a battle of the Cassidy brothers here. Not really related. Orange Cassidy, Isaiah Cassidy. We get Don Callis watching this one backstage. He's trying to wine and dine Orange here. I find that to be very, very interesting. But before anything goes on with that, we got business settled between Orange and Trent Beretta. Mm-hmm. Trent coming down the steps in this matchup, causing a distraction, allowing Isaiah Cassidy to get the upper hand in this one. Isaiah working the lower back for much of the match, not allowing Orange to hit beach break early on. Really, really pretty spin kick from Isaiah in this one. He gets some unintended assistance from the referee that allowed him to hit a swanton bomb onto the lower back, but Orange Cassidy prevails, as he usually does, mm-hmm. works up enough strength to hit the beach breaker for the win in this one. Then afterwards, we get Orange just sucker punching Trent Beretta here as Lexi interviews him, challenges Orange to a straight up wrestling match at Double or Nothing, claiming that Orange Cassidy cheated the last time that these two fought. So he says, clearly Trent is a better professional wrestler than Orange Cassidy. He would win in a fair fight. There's a lot going on surrounding Orange Cassidy, Trent Beretta, Don Callis, Isaiah Cassidy, great performance tonight, but from a storyline perspective, he didn't have nothing to do with nothing tonight. What did you make of everything going on here?
Yeah, I liked the match that they both had. I think they were really, they were a really great matchup because I feel like they're kind of similar in like their quickness and kind of what they do. I need Don Callis to close his eyes when he sees Orange Cassidy. Okay. I need him to close his eyes, turn around and walk the other way because he already took Takeshita. We cannot let him take Orange Cassidy. There's no way. What his business needs to be bankrupt. Like he doesn't have any business with Orange Cassidy. I am excited to see where things progress when it comes to Trent. And I know Chucky is right now injured. So I don't know what's going to happen with his career moving forward. But Trent right now seems like he's on the come up. So it's just going to be interesting to see where this goes, especially because Orange was the person in Best Friends for about maybe like a solid year, right?
Yeah, easily. Look, Orange Cassidy and the Don Callis family, square peg, round hole. There's not a fit there. I'm sorry, there's not. If anything, what I'm hoping is this is a setup for a swerve, and it's actually Trent Beretta that gets pulled into the Don Callis family, because that's a fit.
That would make sense. I don't hate that.
Trent Beretta with the Don Callis family
makes
a ton of sense.
Yeah,
Orange Cassidy. No, I'm sorry, because you're gonna have to, like, if Orange Cassidy goes with Don Callis, they're gonna have to basically completely rebuild him and present him differently and character changes and all that. Because again, I just don't see.
It's weird.
Like, Orange has had a natural evolution since he came to AEW, where many saw him as a comedy relief act, right? Mm-hmm. And he's really grown into, you know, a guy he used to have to be coaxed into trying in matches, and now, like, he's putting on banger after banger after banger and fighting for championships, and he's really built from a character perspective that work ethic, right? And he's been a guy who's honestly helped carry AEW for a long time. He's still massively over. You know, it was nice to see him kind of, if they were going to turn him heel, right, they had an opportunity to do it when he lost the international championship.
Yeah.
And he was slowly starting to deteriorate for the fact that he didn't have that anymore. And we saw that. It feels very much like what we saw with Kofi Kingston after he dropped the WWE championship. And then an injury happened and they scrapped that entire storyline. Yeah. And then we're seeing it with Orange Cassidy here in AEW. And then an injury happens. Mox gets hurt. He drops the title to Rey Fénix. Rey Fénix then drops the title right back to Orange Cassidy. And everything got dropped. And Orange was right back to where he was before he lost the belt to Moxley. And, you know, that was the opportunity to do it. This doesn't seem like a fit for me. Trent Beretta, though, could really, really benefit from the added spotlight that is the Don Callis family for me.
Yeah, and with Hobbs being injured right now and him really only having Takeshita and Kyle, I think Trent could be the main guy in the Don Callis family, and it would be believable.
Let's see. Two Throw for Life, one asking, are they going to put Deonna and Thunder Rosa at least on the pre-show for Double or Nothing? I would assume so. I know Sean reported earlier this week that, or maybe it was even earlier today, there's two or three more matches that are being talked about for Double or Nothing. You could sign me up for three women's matches on the main card.
Absolutely.
For a pay-per-view.
Especially if it's going to be Deonna and Thunder Rosa. Like, we already know that those women can go. So absolutely, why not?
Yeah, we do have our standard 920 women's match to get to here in a second here, Iridian. But first...
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about BetOnline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by BetOnline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Thank you, Sean. Our boy Drew in the chat saying it doesn't make sense for the guy who was attacked by his best friend to join the heel group over the evil heel former best friend. Because that, yeah, when you think about it, Trent's getting booed out of the building. He's already getting the Don Callis reactions. Mm-hmm. Turning Orange Cassidy heel would make
no sense.
Because, yeah. And I think it's one of those situations where if you turn him heel, and it's not like a natural thing like they had a chance to do, like I said, before he won back the international championship. Fans are going to reject it, and they're just going to cheer for him anyway, like because they want to. Like we've seen that before. It took Becky Lynch a long time in that big time Bex character to get people to hate her, and she was still doing some of the best work, character work, in her entire career. But we get our women's match here tonight, Serena Deeb versus Anna Jay. Serena Deeb's just a joy to watch work. She's such a tactician. She's so smooth. Her offense makes sense. She's constantly working Anna Jay's knee in this matchup, but Anna got a lot of offense in herself. She came to play. She's somebody who just continues to improve, and I know she's been racking up wins in Ring of Honor, but you know, whenever she gets the opportunity to go up against some of the best in AEW, she continues to show again that improvement that she has made since coming to AEW. The elbow drop turned into the Queen Slayer, so damn good. It was flawless. The timing was perfect. It was as smooth as if Serena was applying the hold herself. Deeb ultimately gets the win with the submission, but the finish already, and this is my problem, and this comes down to a timing thing and camera cuts and all the other stuff. It was ultimately secondary to Luther walking down to the ring to steal Serena Deeb's flag. Like that happened as the match ended, and it was almost like, oh yeah, there was a match, but that doesn't matter because now the focus is on Luther, and we're going to the post-match thing to set up the angle for the upcoming pay-per-view, right? So again, it was just kind of a timing issue, just a little nitpick on my part. I think the ending to the match itself should have had a little bit more focus, but I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, okay, why the hell is Luther taking the flag? And then he walks up and there's Mariah May and they're holding it up and I'm like, oh, okay. So is Tony going to try to run through this thing? Like, you know, she's at a high school football game. Is she going to cut it? Is she going to do some other weird things with it? Yeah, weird is what happened as she gets behind this semi-transparent flag, takes off all of her clothes, and wears it as a towel and proceeds to strut down the ramp, kicking her shoes into the crowd. And then, yeah, Serena did exactly what anybody should do in that situation. She tries to chase down the naked person whose ass she wants to beat because she knows they can't defend themselves. But whew, there was a lot that happened there. Lot to unpack there. Iridian, what'd you make of everything?
Yeah, the ending of this match, I kind of agree with you because the way that everything went down, they made it seem as like maybe Serena would be distracted by Luther getting this. And then Anna Jay would pick up the win. And I'm such a fan of Anna. I see like unlimited potential in her. I think she's a star. I do like that on commentary, they did bring up the history that she's had in AEW. They mentioned that she was in the Dark Order. She was also part of the Jericho Appreciation Society. And now she's in Ring of Honor. She's picking up wins. And they also had the amount of wins that she had. I don't remember the specific number, but I'm like, 59. Okay. Oh, amazing. So I was like, okay, perfect. They're bringing up that she's not just someone to be played with, right? Like she is really a staple in the women's division in AEW. So I was really glad that they mentioned that on commentary. But when Luther came out, I was like, oh, okay, so Serena still won. So what are we doing? I thought also maybe they might just cut it like a grand opening kind of.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thing, and I think it was really significant or symbolic here that, you know, Serena came out and she was kind of like, you know, waving it around that this is her brand, this is how she lives by. But this was Toni Storm. Like, she put it on. Like, she actually wore it. She wasn't just talking a game. And I'm like, okay, I see it. I get what you're doing, Toni. I liked it. I thought it was cool. I mean, I feel like maybe people got distracted by the fact that Toni was like taking her clothes off. But sure. I got it.
Yeah. And not do a second. Do I think that she, you know, this was like a John Cena at the Oscars type situation is
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. They're not going to risk that kind of thing, even though this was taped tonight. But it was hilarious. Toni continues to own this, continues to play her mind games with Serena, which is such a yin and yang type dynamic that they have, because Toni is so over the top and outlandish and just like a walking cartoon character basically at this point. And I mean that in the best way possible, the way that this character has continued to evolve, and she just gets more and more ridiculous with it, but also to the point where it's getting over and she's becoming a fan favorite. And then you have all business, like, I almost lost my career, Serena Deeb, like, winning this championship is everything to me. And then you just have Toni Storm, who's like,
so unserious,
wrap my naked body in your flag because I don't give an F. All right. Like, just does not care. It's a really good dynamic between these two. I'm looking forward to this match as well coming up at Double or Nothing. Continue to get those super chats in, get those humper chats in, guys. Guarantee way to get your comment read on the air here. By the way, all 2,082 people, you all are crazy for joining us here on a Saturday night, but we love you so much. Give this video a thumbs up, subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel if you haven't already, and subscribe to Fightful Select. That's $5 you're going to spend all month. You know, come on, you spent $5 on
this. Yeah. And the more that you guys engage with us with this video, it lets Sean know that you like us and that we're doing a good job. So
yeah, we need jobs, so we want to stick around as well. So send in those super chats, show your support. We always appreciate the great support that we get here at Fightful. We had Nick Wayne defeating Bland Stardust tonight, also called as
How dare you put some respect on Jack Hartwell's name, Rick.
I didn't mean bland as in he was boring. I meant bland as he didn't have face makeup on. That's what I mean by bland. But anyway, we had the son of Stardust here, Jack Cartwheel, going up against Nick Wayne. I will give respect to Jack, though. That man took a rough bump on the outside off an top rope cartwheel and landed face first. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, man, I hope the check clears tonight. It should, because the cons are loaded. You earned it on that one.
That's one of the things that I had in my notes that I said, oh my God, Jack Hartwheel flipped out of the ring and he was supposed to land on Nick. Nick moved, just complete wipeout. Insane. It looked nasty, but shout outs to him because I can't do a cartwheel. Can you do a cartwheel, Rick?
Hell no.
Okay. Shout outs to you, Jack Hartwheel, for being able to do that. I used to be able to do them when I was a kid. And then just one day I just wasn't able to anymore. So the fact that he's doing it, 10 out of 10 for you.
Like, not only that, but he's like it's a weird gimmick, but it's he's incorporated so much of it into his offense, at least what we saw tonight. Like, he's transformed into moves like he's a freaking superhero, like he's Cartwheel Man, and he's just kind of owning it. He had a lot of energy. I like him. This is the first time that I've actually seen him perform, so that's why I didn't give him the nickname of Johnny Jobber or anything like that. Like, I have respect for the talent there, but yeah, Bland Stardust lost tonight after Nick Wayne. He had this match won with Wayne's World, but my God, it was just poetic to see him stop, get up, and send a message to Swerve to win the match with house call. I combined two words there. You see what happened there? To win it with a house call and just send a message ahead of their match this Wednesday on Dynamite. In that promo that he had earlier, he told Christian that, you know, under his guidance and tutelage, he's transformed from a boy into a man, and he's learned so much, and he's such a different wrestler now. He's grown a lot. You could see it as far as his performances. That was just, I don't know if that was his idea. I don't know if that was somebody's producer's idea or Christian's idea, whoever it was a brilliant, just in what was essentially a time filler match, right? Mm-hmm. It was a brilliant, ad here to build onto what we're going to see out of Nick Wayne and Swerve on Wednesday.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, I liked that, you know, how they made that connection of, because a lot of people were confused as to why Christian and Swerve were, you know, that the match. But when Christian was like, okay, well, you beat up my son, like, now I have to like, kind of like defend his honor, and now I'm going to fight you. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But at the same time, why couldn't we just have Nick Wayne versus Swerve to begin with? Because you still would have been able to make that connection. Like, okay, Christian is still involved, but he's involved because it's Nick Wayne's problem. And I did like that Nick, you know, kind of stood up for himself tonight, and he was like, I am going to fight Swerve. Like, I'm going to do this. Like, don't worry. But that's the pay-per-view match right there, is Swerve and Nick Wayne. I think Christian and Swerve are going to have a great match, but the pay-per-view match is Nick Wayne and Swerve. That's just what I think.
As great as I think Nick Wayne is already, I don't know if the history, I think Nick Wayne and Swerve could be a great pay-per-view match maybe a year from now. Like, just continue to build up Nick Wayne and his credibility. He's only 18 years old. He's going to have many championship pay-per-view matches in his career. I get at this point where he is, considering the fact also that he hasn't been wrestling a whole lot for AEW over the last few months. It was nice to kind of see him get this tune-up match tonight, and he's going to go against Swerve on Wednesday.
And that's no fault to him.
No, it's not. He just wasn't really in a position where, hey, he's got history with Swerve, so let's give him the title match. Like, I understand why Christian was put into this spot, but Nick Wayne's going to continue to get better. I had a chance to talk to him last week for an article that's coming out on Monday for CageSideSeats.com. Just getting to talk to him, he's impressive. Like, he does not come off as an 18-year-old at all. He is wise beyond his years. He's kind of an old soul. He's a 9-year veteran in the business. He started training when he was 9, for crying out loud, for those who can do basic math. Like, it's insane how much experience he has and how much better he's going to get and how good he is already. So highly suggest you check that out. CageSideSeats.com is when I'm going to drop that on this coming Monday. All right, last chance to get those super chats, those humper chats in, guys, because we are on to the main event, our Bounty Gate matchup. It was Team AEW, Brian Danielson and FTR versus Lance Archer and The Righteous. Brian Danielson, obviously, you know, we've seen the reports. He's not 100% right now. He's dealing with some issues in the neck and shoulder area right now. And you saw the heavy tape job that he had on tonight. And I've totally been ignoring Rampage, by the way. But Anthony Bowens is dropping Brian Cage right there and almost picked up the win. Mm-hmm. Got 4 minutes left on that show there. But so the main event going on a Rampage right now. Danielson looked great. Like, I think it was really smart that they let FTR and the Righteous and Lance Archer kind of carry the first 10 minutes or so of this match and then let Danielson get in, you know, finally toward the end there. But he looked great for a guy who's not 100%. FTR ends up winning the match with the Shatter Machine. Mm-hmm. This is a match, though, that I would have liked to have seen more focus be on the Bounty. Right. Because the whole reason this match got set up and it was a good match. Right. But the whole reason this match was booked is because of the what did they call it? The Elite Blood Money that was on the line here. Like, it wasn't about winning the match tonight for Lance Archer and the Righteous. It was about collecting a big bonus, a big paycheck. So I would have liked to have seen more emphasis during the match itself on trying to injure their opponents instead of trying to win the match.
Yeah,
but they made up for it at the end when they brought in the chairs and then they really started assaulting them. I think it's a nitpick, but I think it's a story that could have carried through the match itself. Focusing on the match itself, Iridian, what'd you think?
Yeah, I see your point. I thought the match was fine. I did like what happened more at the end of the match. I was more for like, okay, yes, like what's going to happen here? I feel like we kind of knew who was going to come out the winners of this match. But Danny Garcia coming out to save FTR, you know, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. It's very interesting if he's the one that's going to be replacing Darby, if Darby's being replaced at all. We still don't know. I feel like maybe if like Sean would have popped up if something happened. But yeah. Just very interesting choice if that's what they are going to go with. But I feel like this match for me was fine. It wasn't like anything that was crazy. Going into the pay-per-view, I feel like it could have been built up a little bit better, but I thought there was better matches on the card tonight rather than this main event.
Yeah, I still haven't seen anything about Darby getting pulled, but we got people in the chat who are saying that Brian Daniels said FTR are out for Dynamite this coming week. Also, Van Twinblade saying that Orange versus Trent has officially been announced for Double or Nothing. Had a feeling that was going to be coming. So that was my thought, is because you had Lance Archer, you know, dropping cash on the chair with the blackout. My thought would be with Daniel Garcia running out, he would be making he would be another late addition, maybe taking the place of Cash. Like, they could write off Cash in an injury from the main event, and it wouldn't be FTR as the team together. It would be, you know, Dax and Danielson and who's the other Darby, and then you throw in Daniel Garcia, because a lot of people wanted Daniel Garcia to be the replacement that, you know, Darby ended up being in the first place, because Eddie Kingston was hurt. So if they continue to just keep, you know, churning this out and are constantly changing people and having Team AEW have to find replacements and get more people to jump on the pro Tony Khan team and go up against the Young Bucks, it kind of does add more to this story here a little bit, doesn't it? Like, if the Elite are just doing things like they're throwing out bonuses and guys are getting hurt and they'll take anybody out. It just adds to this, you know, monarchy here that they're kind of putting together. It's no longer like they're taking over everything and you're either with us or you're against this kind of a situation.
I needed more shenanigans tonight. Okay. Do you remember when DX had they stole the bounty and they were like in the bathroom with the suitcase full of money and they were like running around and everybody was trying to like get this bounty from them and they were having fights, in bathroom stalls, like in the middle of the halls? Like, if there was a bounty tonight, it didn't seem like there was. until the end of this
exactly
match. So maybe it wasn't a good enough bonus. I don't know. I don't know what it was.
I don't know. Hopefully they got it because they did their job tonight. Brian Cage beating Anthony Bowens in the main event of Rampage tonight. So
that's crazy.
There we go. How about that?
You know, one last thing I'll say about the main event. I don't like Lance Archer with other people. I think Lance Archer needs to be.
You want him all to yourself?
He needs to be having singles matches. Why? Like, his name is Murder Hawk Monster. Why do you need to be paired with other people? Your theme song literally says everybody dies. What are we doing? What's happening? I have questions.
I mean, I kind of wish they were doing more with the Righteous. I think those two guys are insanely talented and I like them.
No shade to the Righteous because I also they're growing on me, but I feel like the Righteous could be their own thing. And then Lance Archer also their own thing. And they also mentioned Jake Roberts on commentary. I was like, what is going on? Like, was he even out there tonight?
I didn't see him. No.
Like, why are you talking about him then? It doesn't make any sense. I was very confused. This main event just kind of threw me off.
Orion Ben 666 in the chat. Aridian wants everybody to die.
It's in the theme song. Like, it's self-explanatory and it's just not explaining itself at the end of the day. Like, you are going to say, oh, he's such a like big guy and he's such a threat in the division, and then he's losing, and then you're pairing him up with other people. It just doesn't make sense. It's not, the math ain't mathing for me on that one.
I mean, look, he's a guy we've talked about numerous times, and like, literally, outside of him winning the IWGP United States Championship off of John Moxley, somebody else's belt, and I think that was a Texas Death Match that I believe was the main event of Dynamite. Like, what is his second biggest win in AEW? Precisely. Iridian, tell the fine folks where they can find your work.
You guys can head over to Rest Friends on YouTube. You can find our podcast there. I have some really good interviews. And also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, TikTok, Iridian_Fiero. Honestly, I'm just throwing them all out there, seeing if one sticks.
All right, fair enough. You can follow me at Rick Uccino, as it's spelled on the screen there. Twitter, Instagram. I think I'm still on Threads, although I literally haven't posted there in months. But if you want to follow me there, great. Have at it. I do a lot of stuff. Local radio in Cincinnati, both sports and news. I write for Sports Illustrated about those terrible Cincinnati Reds. And then pro wrestling for here, SB Nation. Again, my conversation with Nick Wayne will drop on Monday. I think that's about all I can come up with. It has been a long day, folks. I started work at 4 a.m. this morning, so I am ready to get to sleep. Thank you guys so much. Incredible audience here tonight for our Collision post show and our kind of Rampage watch along, even though I kept forgetting to watch it as I was hosting a show. It's hard to host a show and watch something at the same time.
Mm-mm, I didn't even have it on. So you're one step ahead of me tonight. Okay.
Right now we got Mad Max on. I'm going to watch this and I'm going to fall asleep to Mad Max. That's what's going to happen. Have fun in Vegas next week. Me and Crystal will hold things down, and then we'll see you in the I guess we'll see you in
the week June. After. Yeah. See you guys next month.
We'll all convene next month. It'll probably be Crystal and Rob next week. No, I'm kidding. All right. Take care, everybody.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save.